Hello out there, Rebel Nation. Happy New Year. Here from the crew at the Rebel Room, I'm Ryan Green, joined by Ray Brewer, and we are here. This is a special edition. Usually at this point of the year, all we talk to you on is about post-game stuff, but we have a special edition here because this is the all-decade team edition. We have selected a 13-man roster with a fan walk-on spot, a walk-on spot chosen by the fans, so 14 men named to UNLV's all-time or all-decade roster from the year 2000 to 2009-10. And we're here to look back on it, Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, and let's just start with what turned out to be our biggest point of contention, our player of the decade. Now, I think at the end, I don't think there was really any argument with who we picked. We chose Wink Adams. However, Ray, you want to speak the other side of the stick.
Well, I argued for Marcus Banks. I said 2002-2003, best player on the floor every game, had UNLV within a game of the tournament each year, was a lottery pick, was in the NBA. Still is in the NBA. And you got to factor in Wink Adams' senior season. Absolute train wreck last year. And I just, yeah, Wink had the better numbers because he had one more year. But in terms of being a productive Rebel, he was a lottery pick. He was a big-time recruit, local kid from Cimarron Memorial. And I just thought that Marcus did more for the team than Wink. Now, granted, Wink got him to was part of the crew, of the core group of guys that got UNLV to the Sweet 16. Marcus choked big-time in 03 against Colorado State, championship game of the tournament, right here in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack. But I just thought that obviously we went with Wink when you look at his numbers, but I thought Marcus definitely needed to be in consideration, and if we gave it to Marcus, I don't think that many people would have complained.
I agree. Now, I think if you're saying who was the best player, you know, you ran a one-on-one tournament with every player who played at UNLV from the year 2000 to the year 2010. I think Marcus Banks is going to win that tournament, obviously. Your best player, like you said, a lottery pick, and they don't just hand those spots out to chumps. All right, the guy was legitimate, put up great numbers. The biggest star UNLV had over the last 10 years. The biggest star player. But I think when you're naming it all, my argument was when you're naming an all-decade team, you got to look at impact on the program. Now, hey, he doesn't choke against Colorado State and just gets them to the tournament. Who knows? We could be having a different argument right now because you have some tangible evidence there that stretches beyond individual accomplishment. But Wink Adams, now a big recruit in his own right, was a top 30 recruit by Rivals.com, was a big get for them, and was the right guy at the right time for this program. And that, now I do agree there's going to be a lot of people out there that might agree with you because it's such a what have you done for me lately world, and they're going to remember that senior year.
All I know is that Wink teamed with Kevin Krueger, went to the Sweet 16. Marcus Banks choked against San Diego State in 2002 in the finals of the tournament, choked against Colorado State in 2003. If Marcus Banks had somebody other than Dalron Johnson as a complimentary player, he wins both those games, and it's definite Marcus Banks is, you know, got this program back to where it was. It's just that Wink had more around him, especially when he was a sophomore. UNLV goes to the Sweet 16. That team just clicked at the right time. Wendell White, Curtis Terry played great down the stretch.
Yeah, Gaston and Joel inside.
Kruger.
Yeah,
it was a great team. If you look at those teams that Marcus was part of, it was basically him and Dalron Johnson.
The NBA two-man game.
And you really didn't know. And they were clearly out for one thing, to put up numbers. They would pass to each other. There was a time when I thought Marcus only trusted Dalron to pass the ball to because he knew if he passed it to somebody else, probably not getting it back. It was, you know, at the beginning of Louis Oddmanson's career where he had a hard time catching the ball, couldn't make a foul shot to save his life, probably still can if you ask some people.
So basically, one of us is arguing team, one of us is arguing me. I know you can't spell team without M-E, but that's basically what it comes down to. It basically comes down to what's your criteria for a player of the decade. And it's the same that you hear every year in, say, like Major League Baseball MVP arguments.
Yeah, Andre Dawson gets it 1 year. Yeah. The Cubs don't finish in
the cell. Does it go to the best player, or does it go to the best player who meant the most to his team? Because I think there's two different categories here. Best player, Marcus Banks. Best player who also meant the most to the program, Wink Adams. Because like you said when we were arguing this originally, they play one-on-one, Wink and Marcus. Marcus probably wins what? In their primes.
Eight out of ten. And Wink is in a cast because he's broke his ankle. Marcus was just so dynamically quick, racing up and down the court. Remember a game against UNR at UNR. It was on ESPN, and Marcus was just magical that game. Led UNLV to a victory. It was a close victory. And that was the year, you know, Reno had, I think, Sessions. It was number 20.
The other guy that left early.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
Reno had a great team that year, yeah. And Marcus single-handedly beat him. And it just, for me, it was.
Was that pre or post Fizikas?
No, that he was on that team.
He was on that team, all right.
But I remember in 2003, UNLV's playing Colorado State, finals of the Mountain West Tournament at the MAC. UNLV's up by like 7 at half.
No excuses to lose it.
I'm sitting next to Adam Hill from the RJ, and I'm like, hey, Adam, where do you think UNLV's going to get seated in the tournament? And we're sitting there talking, 8, 10, who knows, maybe 11. They weren't that good that year. And then he was like, you know what? They're not there yet.
Yeah.
Let's not. And the next thing you know, Colorado State comes back, beats UNLV, and then they play Duke in the first round of the tournament that year and almost beat Duke in the first round. Mm-hmm. So that Colorado State team was decent. Speaking of teams, our team, Ryan Green, the starting lineup, point guard Marcus Banks, shooting guard Wink Adams, small forward Dalron Johnson, who I think, in my opinion, had just a ton of talent. Guy's still playing professionally in Israel. Power forward Odare Blankson, he could score on anybody in the post. Center Kaz Kambala, blast from the past. Our bench,
we got a deep bench.
Deep bench, and who do you call off first? Kevin Kruger, the 1 year here, thanks to the NCAA transfer year, really boosted the program. Huge favor to Dad. Ramel Beck, who, if you remember when he played for UNLV, fellas, was so skinny. I mean, it was like looking at Tajon Prince in the McDonald's All-American game. Super skinny. Our bench is Louis Odmonson, Louis Kelly. Before there was Lou, there was Lou. Curtis Terry, Wendell White, who was just awesome, as I said before, in that run to the Sweet 16. And, of course, somebody from this year's team, Mr. I Never Miss a Foul Shot, Trevon Willis. There's our team. I left off, of course, Rene Rougeau, rags to riches, walk on to Scully, non-player to
the do-it-all energy guy. Yeah,
grabbed every rebound,
blocked a lot of shots.
Heart of stone. If Wink Adams had a senior year like Rene Rougeau, maybe I'm not arguing at the beginning of this podcast.
Well, here's my question for you. Okay. You look at this bench and you said, let's make this our final argument here today. Who are your sixth and seventh men on this team? You have that bench to choose from. Who are you going to 1 and 2 off the bench?
Well, obviously, I mean, I go Kevin Kruger. I mean, he was a senior, a fifth-year senior, 23 years old, really organized the offense so beautifully, and was a great shooter, somebody you could rely on.
So things don't go into chaos when you go to the bench.
Yeah. And I think Ramel Beck was such a fluid scorer, great shooter, had a knack for creating his own shot, and you can't go wrong with him. And you really plug him in. If you take out like Wink and Kambala, because you know Lon likes to go with the three guard system, your lineup becomes Marcus Banks, Ramel Beck, Kevin Kruger, Dalron Johnson, Odare Blankston. National champions, baby.
Wow.
No, but that's a pretty awesome lineup.
No, yeah, definitely. I will agree with you on Kruger coming off. I would go with a little size in my seventh man. I'd want to keep my starting big men fresh, so I'd want to throw a big body that can bang in there. That said, I'm probably going to go with either Lou Amundson or Wendell White.
Now, Lou Amundson's a guy, Ryan, who didn't really flourish in his career until later. Kruger, great job working with Lou. At the beginning of his career, was a huge liability offensively. Another player who I think should get a little more love on the team. Lou Kelly, Sweet Lou the lefty.
That's your boy.
Oh, God, he had a sweet touch, man. And he was a good rebel. I mean, he's not going to stand out because those were kind of the spoon hour transition years where, you know, they were guys you're going to love, guys that were going to give you a maximum effort, but guys who didn't kind of get to the tournament, or they were the NIT crew.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, he
given
is
the
where
recent
he belongs.
Success, they're kind of lost in the grand scheme.
Yeah, but
of things,
Sweet Lou, number 15 from the corner for three. Whew, yeah. It was beautiful. And obviously, great history of the Rebels. I know we're closing this out. I got one question for you. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I'm kind of throwing you a softball surprise. You got our 14-man roster. Is there anybody from this team that would be on a UNLV, just history of the program team? You got your top 12 guys. You know, you've got the Greg Anthony's, the Larry Johnson's, the Stacey Augmans, the Robert Smiths of the world. Is there anybody from this 12 that you think is good enough to creep into maybe the best 12 all-time at UNLV?
Now there, I will go with Marcus Banks. Because I think at that point, you're going talent alone. And I think I'd go with Marcus Banks at that point.
You could tell. Well, they've had so many great point guards. Yeah. Mark Wade, I mean, he couldn't shoot a lick, great passer. Danny Tarkanian was a good point guard. Greg Anthony was a good point guard. Dedon Thomas from the Rolla Massimino years. I know nobody, anytime you mention Rolla, people are like, oh, this guy was garbage. But they had a great team. Dedon Thomas at the point guard, J.R. Ryder, Everett Gray, I forgot. There was another name I forgot. But they had some good teams. I think even Dedon Thomas was probably a better point guard than Marcus Banks. A lot of talent. Won a few big games for UNLV. Super quick. Awesome defender. But still, I don't think he's in the top 12. Anybody
you would put off there then in the top 12?
I'm probably not.
I was just saying if we were forced to put one.
If we were forced to.
But none of these I would say bump a lot of those guys from the 70s and 80s off.
I mean, UNLV just had such a... I mean, that's when you really talk about the history of this program. And I mean, I know you came from Kansas. You went to school there. You saw a lot of great teams. I mean, I would take UNLV's top 12 against any other program's top 12 all time. I know Carolina would be dynamite. Kansas would be dynamite. Duke would be dynamite. But when you talk about some of those UNLV players, I mean, they were just awesome. Stacey Augmans finished better than anybody I've seen in college basketball. I mean, he could finish, man. And Armand Gilliam was a beast inside. Just two names. Freddie Banks couldn't miss. That's all I got, baby.
I love it.
We could sit.
You're going to take New Year's Eve to catch your breath now.
Phew, we could sit here all day and talk about Rebel history. And I mean, I know folks don't know, but born and raised here. My dad took me to games at the convention center. And there's just a passion for this program that, you know, we haven't seen a lot over the years because, you know, it's a little up and down and up and down and up and down. And when I was a kid, they were just up, up, and up. And you were like, how far are they going to go in the tournament this year? Not, will they get to the tournament?
Yeah.
So, apples and oranges.
All right. Well, we will talk to you again soon. After UNLV's layoff is done, they will start conference play on Wednesday at Provo. We'll be talking to you then with the postgame. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. Happy New Year to you and yours. Bye-bye.